Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor, post-game edition. I come to you directly after the Miami Heat's loss at home to the Dallas Mavericks, 111-92. I am your host, Greg Sylvander. Tonight's floor plan with me, not only the coach, Sean Rochester. You can follow him at @RochesterNBA, but we have Naveen Ganglani. He's back again, so we didn't scare him away so that he would never come back. Happy to have you both here. Unfortunately, it's under tough circumstances as the Heat took one on the chin in what was a really tough game. We're going to get into that in a minute. Before we do, though, want to call out our off-the-floor Discord server. This is where all of the Miami Heat fans that are as passionate as you are and as informed as they get are breaking down these games, talking through all of the frustrations, also talking through the good stuff. And there's many channels. You can talk sports, you can talk music, you can talk culture, all kinds of different stuff right here off the floor. It's $2.99 a month, $3.99 from your Apple device. Check it out. It's on Discord. The link is posted in the description of this episode, but also is posted on Twitter. You can find it almost everywhere that we're promoting. So check out Off the Floor. Gentlemen, that was rough. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was the worst defensive first half of the season. And that's not good when it's a week away from the play-in game. And you felt like you were outclassed. When you see the degree to which Kyrie and Luka can get to their spots and score, and you see how tough it is for Miami to conjure up any level of offense, it is – you just see that the Heat are – there's nothing that suggests that this is going to change anytime soon. And that is a tough spot to be in. Naveen, I'll come to you first on this one. Your early thoughts on just the game in general and specifically how bad the Heat came out in that first half.
I think this game made me realize that I hate this team, the season's team, like really, really, really hate them. I hate how after every game, Spoelstra's going to come in the press conference and try to justify what they're going through by saying, you got to like it when it's tough. You got to like it hard. This is what you live for. You got to love the emotions. At this point, it just sounds like, you know, saying something to the mic to kind of validate what they're going through. But the offense is still rubbish. The defense, you know, becomes non-existent when the shots don't go in. I hate what Jimmy Butler is this regular season. I really do. And I have been the biggest Jimmy guy for the longest time. I hate how after Bam Adebayo realized that he was probably never going to win Defensive Player of the Year, he just decided to stop giving as much effort as he usually does. I hate how we have so many possessions where Caleb Martin is trying to make something out of nothing with 5 seconds left on the shot clock. I hate all the 24-second shot clock violations. I hate Patty Mills. Can we just say that? I don't know. I hate this team. I do, and I feel like they've given us every reason to hate them this season. I mean, yeah, sure, they made the playoffs last year, but even last year when the regular season wasn't great, there was fight, there was spirit, there was, you know, it had a lot to do with them missing threes, and they were still beating good teams. This team this season, I think, isn't even as good as its record shows. It's almost like they had that record in part because they were good to start the season. But since the calendar year flipped, they've kind of been a non-playoff team, if we're being honest. They're to me right now, and they're in that same level as the Atlanta, Chicago, you know, part of the standings, and it's really starting to look like they might not even make it. I don't think they're getting out of the first round. Who knows if they even make it out of the play-in?
Yeah, I don't feel particularly confident in those one game samples against anybody right now, Sean, with the way that this offense is being played. Let's, before we go to the game of the night and we do all of the post game entries, Jimmy Butler, man, 8 field goal attempts. I've run out of adjectives to describe how puzzled I really am and how bad this is all looking. And I don't know if Maxi Kleber is the Jimmy stopper or if it's just a situation where he was off tonight. The lack of shot attempts is concerning. What do you make of Jimmy Butler's night tonight? We don't need to get into the big picture stuff, just specifically tonight against Dallas. What did you see that made Jimmy look so limited out there on the floor?
So I think if you zoom out, the process, and Naveen kind of hinted on this a little bit, like the process of how we're getting through our offense. We know we struggle on that end of the floor. We've been able to rely on our defense. We've been a top 5 defense for essentially since the calendar year flip, but the offense has struggled so much. Greg, you know, Brian and I and you have a group chat. We've talked about like the shot diet, 46% of our shots in the mid-range. It's too heavy. It's been too heavy since November. This team is built to rely on the mid-range. And in the year 2024, basketball is not played that way. We only shot 17% of our shots at the rim. We can't get to the rim. We have nobody that can get there anymore. And when we get there, we can't get foul shots. So that also hurts. You talked about Jimmy, 8 field goal attempts. Here's the list of guys on our team that shot more field goal attempts than Jimmy. Tyler had 15. Caleb Martin had 14. Bam had 13. Kevin Love had 9. Nico had 9. Like, that just doesn't make sense. And it's not, you know, sometimes you have Jimmy might only have 8 field goal attempts because he got a bunch of free throws. How many free throws did Jimmy Butler get tonight? The same as me and Naveen and Greg did. 0. Like, it doesn't make, the math doesn't make sense. And he can hold himself out. He can do all these things. And I don't want to pile on Jimmy because it's the process of the whole offense put together. And I don't think it's a Spo problem either. I just think this collective group, the mix, trying to make it work right now, reintegrating Tyler, losing Duncan. Jaime's not what he used to be. Jimmy's, what's going on with him? Bam, what's going on with him? Like, all these different pieces, we're trying to put together a puzzle, and the puzzle pieces don't fit. And I know we're not trying to go big picture and future stuff, but I think that's ultimately where it's at. People that don't fit together, pieces that don't fit together.
I agree. I think we've arrived at the place where you can't run from the fact that you have to ask, can you win a championship now with Jimmy and Bam as your offensive center points? And I don't know that that's possible. I do know that for all of the flaws that maybe Dallas has defensively at times, they did play really well. And there was 2 guys in particular that really balled out, and we're going to talk about them next as the Rocky Sports Gamers of the Night.
And now on 5 on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500-square-foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all-day passes available for just $25, but if you mention 5 Reasons, it's just $20. So mention 5 Reasons or 5 RSN, you get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
So I'm throwing Kyrie in the mix only because I think it's such a joy to watch him play offensively. Whatever off the court stuff is off the court stuff with him, and I'm not going to have that conversation today, but he was never an option for the Miami Heat. So Heat fans, just let's go ahead and make sure that that's clear. But he's a lot of fun to watch, and he was 10 of 15, 25 points. But Luka comes in 9 of 23. That could be better. But 29 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. He was definitely the best player on the floor. He's our Gamer of the Night. As we kind of move on here, the Heat are locked into this play-in scenario now. There's really no way around that. And they've got two games up against Toronto that you would think that they could get, but what is a given? You saw that they went up to Atlanta. They're playing a middling team, and that's a double overtime game. So nothing is guaranteed at all. Naveen, with this group, how do you approach the rest of this year? Like, to your point, and I appreciate the passionate rant that you went on early in this episode about all the things that you hate about this team. But if we kind of zoom back into what constructively can you do to salvage these last few games, is there anything tactically that you see that they could do differently with the players that are out there now? Also, let's, I guess, take into account Terry getting back in the fold as they close out against Toronto. We're going to talk play of the night. We're going to get to the injury report, but I'm just interested in your perspective on how they close out this year after kind of blowing two games in Philly and Indiana, and now another game at home where they basically look outclassed.
Well, you got two home games against Toronto, and Toronto literally has incentives to lose so that they can keep their protected draft pick, which already gives you a leg up to begin with. But like you said, Greg, nothing's really guaranteed with this Heat team at this point, given how they've played. But if we're looking at areas that they could maybe build some momentum entering that play-in, I think number one is to try and get Terry back in this lineup. Try to see if he can play the last two games. We're not so sure about Duncan, but if you can get Terry back, I mean, we've seen the last two games how much they've missed his offense. Last three, technically, because he wasn't really a factor against Indiana too. And like we've said, once the offense struggles, the defense tends to follow that trend. So, you know, Sean hit the point too. There have been a lot of mid-range shots. Maybe see if you can get your shooters going from downtown. Try to see if, you know, I actually pointed this out in one of the Heat group chats following the Atlanta game, where if you're definitely locked into that play-in, then it would be ideal to kind of use one of those last few games to maybe get Jaime's confidence back by playing him 38 minutes. Let him get a lot of usage. Let him run a lot of actions. Maybe try to get Jovic another like game where he handles the ball a lot, has a lot of shot attempts, tries to create offense, run in transition. Try to get Caleb's confidence back. Try to get Hero going. You know, if Jimmy and Bam want to play like they don't feel like playing anyway, if they want to rest, which it seemed like they wanted to do today, just rest them out, let the other guys get their confidence back so that hopefully entering the play-in, you kind of have everyone in a good rhythm and maybe that could, again, spark you to a playoff run. Because I really think the way they played against Chicago in the play-in last year sparked how they played against Milwaukee in the first round. So if you can maybe catch that lightning in the bottle again, maybe have a great two games against Toronto, perhaps maybe possibly beat Philly or whoever's in that seventh or eighth seed in the play-in, and then use that as momentum entering the playoffs. I know it's like wishful thinking to some degree, but if that's what you can do, build that rhythm, why not?
Sean, let's say Terry does come back. Do you think that they stick with this lineup now, this Tyler, Caleb? I'm not expecting Duncan, and we'll get into the injury report here in a minute. I'm not expecting Duncan back right away. So let's just say Terry's back in the fold. Do you expect Terry to jump back in the starting lineup, or do you think they're rolling with this Caleb, Tyler, Jimmy, Bam? Who am I missing? There's somebody else in that unit. Tyler, I'm forgetting the players, but basically, do you think they're going to run with the starting lineup that they've rolled out the last couple games?
I think it's hard to keep track of the names when you've had 42 or 47 different starting lineups this year. So we'll forgive you for that one. Look, I think what I would do is, assuming Terry's healthy, I'd go Terry, Tyler, Jimmy, Nico, Bam.
Nico is who I forgot to say out loud.
I think I lean offense in that group, right? So you have your two superstars. You have Tyler, if you want to throw him as your third. Terry is an offensive generator. We know Nico can be a hub and can do things in there. I just think your runway to win games is so narrow. I was looking this up before we got on. When we don't get at least a 110 offensive rating, which is not a great offensive rating to begin with, when we were below 110, 7-21 now on the season. We were below it today. Defensive rating, if we allow above a 120, we're 5-18. We allowed above it today. So you basically have a little narrow window between a 110 and a 120. You have to score enough points, but you have to limit them too. You can't get into a game in the 120s. You also can't get into a game really probably above 115. It has to be in that like 100 to 115 range or lower, because ultimately we can't score enough points. And that's why I think I would lean offense, just because I think the system, I think Spo, I think they can maximize your defensive potential. But when you lean offense, or when you put those defenders out there and they don't have those offensive skills, you're like trying to milk a rock. Like there's no juice in there. Like it's, you know, you're trying to find something that doesn't exist. So maybe if I can score, and I think when we talk about Duncan, that's a key piece of that. Missing him, that offensive generation, the gravity that he pulls, the movement that he has, it's just, we have depth, but I don't know. I don't know what you do, because I don't think, while he has a lot of options, I don't think he has a lot of answers.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. And the Heat are now, they moved to 2-16 when they score less than 100 points, as they score 92 tonight. Naveen, your thoughts on the lineups, and what do you think Spoelstra is going to lean into as we close out the year and then get into the play-in scenario? Where do you think he leans lineup-wise as Terry Rozier gets back?
Well, I think the lineups, it's clear with how they perform. It's just there's no synergy, there's no flow, and there's just no natural rhythm, because guys have been in and out all season long. If you think about it, Tyler, to some degree, has played like maybe half a season about around there at this point, because he's missed so much time. And now Duncan's out, Terry's out. And you look, continuity, familiarity, all these concepts are what help a team really perform well when things get tight and when you need to execute down the stretch. And they just don't have that this season. They had it to some degree last season, because a lot of the guys they had in the playoffs last season were guys they had in the postseason prior. This time around, they're relying more on Jovic, right? They're relying more on Hawkes. They're relying more on Terry Rozier, who's relatively new to the team. So there hasn't been a lot of time to get things together, and you see it. They're just so overmatched against some of the elite opposition in the NBA. Like today, Dallas, yes, they had a lot of new pieces, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, but the main core has really been together all season long. Kyrie, Luka, you know, even someone like Dante Exum, and even Derek Jones, who I thought had a good, former Heat player Derek Jones, who had a good game today. So there's that familiarity, there's that rhythm, there's that, you know, natural chemistry already. And the Heat right now, they just don't have it. And I think that's a huge reason why you see them struggle so much in offense, and why they're trying to make something out of nothing with like 6-7 seconds left in the shot clock. And, you know, Spo hasn't been perfect. His staff hasn't been perfect. They haven't really, you know, figured out innovative ways to get the offense going like they have the last few seasons. But at the same time, too, they're kind of trying to coach with, you know, one arm figuratively tied behind their backs, because they're just so limited with what they have day in and day out. It's almost like they need another training camp to reset and get things going on both ends of the floor. But ultimately, too, if your best player, if your franchise player is going to be a superstar role player instead of a superstar, honestly, where are you going to go? Because the answer is nowhere.
You're right. And Jimmy Butler is looking like a shell of himself. It's going to be tough conversations coming up when we talk extensions and such. I think things could get interesting this off season and beyond. I also think the Heat are committed to figuring out a way to make this work. But I've watched this organization long enough, and these builds last somewhere around 5 years or so, and then things start to switch up. So here we are. We're at that spot. Let's get to the aggressive play of the night, and then we will close the show with the injury report.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette Play of the Night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at insurancebylynette.com.
So before we get to that, via Ethan, I guess this is coming from Twitter. Sean, I appreciate the assist here. The Heat now move to, 0-10 against the top five teams in the West? That is rough. Our play of the night, Naveen, you said it was a pre-show. You said it was a microcosm of kind of what the Heat have been dealing with. I think that what was appropriate. It may be a nondescript play to some, but it definitely fits the bill. Why don't you take us through it?
Yeah, there was a moment here in the first half where, as Dallas was starting to run away with the game and it looked clear as day that the Heat were about to lose, Bam, I believe he had an offensive rebound and had literally a semi-wide open floater like 5-6 feet away from their rim. And it probably was short by like 2 feet. It was a complete air ball, a microcosm, first of all, of how bad Bam's night was. And then a few plays later, maybe the next play later, Daniel Gafford, literally with half his body falling down, puts up a left-handed, an offhand layup, kisses the glass perfectly, goes inside. Microcosm, not just of the game, not just of how the last few weeks have gone, microcosm of the entire season to some degree. I mean, it's just been that way, and a lot of Heat fans online have been stating we are ready for the season to end, and after a play like that, after a game like this, it's hard to blame them.
Zero free throw attempts for Jimmy Butler. I mean, like, something is just up there. I don't know what to say about his performance. It's just something is either going on health-wise, we don't know, but I don't think that's it. I think that you're starting to see the decline of a player, and that's a difficult conversation to have. And I don't want to be overly dramatic about it because he can still do Jimmy Butler things at times, but when we're talking about making a real run, that's where it gets tough for me to start to get behind that. There's just nothing that suggests that that's where we are. Let's go to the Eric Rubenstein injury report, and we'll get some closing thoughts from everybody.
And now it's time for the official Five on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan, but the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, ericrubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you on Instagram. And now, the injury report.
Injury report. It's hopefully going to get cleaner soon. Terry Rozier was eventually ruled out with neck stiffness, continuing to try to come back from that. But I think he will be back here in the last couple games. Duncan, I don't expect back. But he did get upgraded to doubtful today, which he could have just been ruled out from the jump. So I don't know if there is a chance that means that there's some encouragement there. Other than that, you've got pretty much your full group of players. So we'll see how that irons out with who plays when in these last two games against Toronto, because you know, there is an inevitability that they're going to be in the play-in. So I'm interested to see how they manage the final two games with rosters, with starters, and with who plays how many minutes. Sean, your final thoughts tonight?
Yeah, I think you make a good point. Going into the weekend, obviously there's going to be games played on Thursday that will give more of a picture. I know the Magic lost tonight. I think the Cavs won. But, you know, Friday night you're going to play Toronto. Toronto's going to be in Miami for the weekend playing for nothing. You got to think if there's ever a chance for the South Beach Flu to ever help us, if anything can save the season, it may be that. We can maybe get two wins there. But, you know, from the Heat side of things, worrying about yourself, do you rest guys? Do you try to get guys out there to get into a rhythm like Naveen mentioned earlier? Do you balance it between the two games? You know you're going to have a game coming up. Ethan thinks it's probably going to be on Tuesday, I believe, right?
Yep.
Tuesday. And you go from there. I mean, at this point, you just don't know what team is going to show up on any night. You know, I jokingly said, like, to Ethan, if Tuesday night is in Philly, I have AAU practice. And I was like, I at least know my girls are going to show up, so I'm not going to be able to go cover the game if it's in Tuesday in Philly. Like, I would rather go to practice. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, and I, you know, we're going to all show up and root for the team, but I think we're now, even those of us that were the last ones that keep one finger on the rope, we're starting to take our hands off and put the season in the trash, basically.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that we've got there. Naveen, your final thoughts as we close.
I think Sean hit it exactly where it should be. It's been a very discouraging season. And it's so funny because, you know, in so many points of the season, it felt like there would be encouraging signs that would be changing the team's fortunes for the better, right? You think about how Jaquez played early in the season. You think about Jovic playing better as of late. You think about the fact that they made the trade for Terry Rozier, someone who was averaging north of 20 points a game. You think of the fact that Duncan went back, not only went back to being Duncan, but actually looked like a better version of himself. And, you know, as the season dragged on, things just started to absolutely melt away. Jimmy started playing worse. Bam started playing worse. The whole team, you know, in basketball, Sean knows this as a coach. And I probably know this having watched the NBA for so long. Teams tend to follow the body language and the energy of their superstars, of their best players. And I keep harping back on Bam and Jimmy because they are the superstars. They are the best players of this team. And I think it was so worrisome that in about 15 minutes, he probably ended up with more minutes. But in 15 minutes, Kevin Love showed more passion, heart, energy, and desire than Jimmy and Bam did combined in north of 60 minutes. I mean, at least Kevin Love was playing well. But the whole team has started to take on the energy and the body language of their best players. And right now, that's not good. And I give credit to Spo for really trying to find solutions every game. You could see him. I think he looks so much older now towards the end of the season than he did compared to when the season started. You can see the stress is really taking a toll on him. And is there another magical playoff run in the horizon? I give it a very low chance, but because this team has done it, I think that maybe it's still there, but I'm not counting on it. But if that's what leads to honest, difficult conversations this summer that will change the outlook of this team, then perhaps that's what's necessary at this point, because everything eventually runs its course, Greg, Sean, and it's starting to feel like this is running its course. This has run its course, rather.
Agree. And it's tough that we've got there because there's been so many fun moments, so many moments where you thought things were over and then they're not. And who knows? Maybe they'll surprise us again. That's why we're all still, you know, kind of still checking these games out, trying to just feel the team, you know, feel the energy within the team, just because you never know. They could have one of those runs like we've seen before, but it doesn't feel the same. And so that's where I close tonight. I think that they're going to have some really interesting evaluations to make throughout the summer. But that's a conversation for another day. Sean, thank you for joining. Naveen, thank you for joining. Closing also, Jimmy's not speaking to the media tonight. that is just not Heat culture. And Spo's closing line, and I think that this is a good way to end. Sometimes the league will humble you. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save.